Well, we're back with Dan Rome, author of The Back of the Napkin. Dan, welcome back to the show. Thank you again for being with us today.
Thanks, Annika.
We want to have an example from you. We're talking today about how to use pictures to solve problems. What is your favorite example of how a business problem was solved with a sketch?
Well, I think my favorite and probably the most famous business back of the napkin sketch of all time would be the founding of Southwest Airlines. It's kind of a story that's actually become a little bit of business lore. So the story goes like this. Two gentlemen, Rollin King and Herb Kelleher, back in the late 1960s, were having a drink at the St. Anthony's Club, downtown San Antonio, Texas. And Rollin King had been a businessman who'd run an airline, and his airline had not been successful. It had been called Wild Goose Airlines. It was a charter airline that flew hunters around Texas. And he had hired a lawyer, Herb Kelleher, to help him shut down and close the books on that airline, and kind of to commiserate afterwards, they went out for a drink. And there at the bar, Rollin King pulled out this napkin, and he said, "Herb, you know, I have an idea for another airline." And he drew on that napkin. He said, "You know, there's three major metropolitan areas in Texas." And he drew Dallas up at the top of the napkin, and he drew Houston kind of down and over to the right-hand side, and he drew San Antonio over to the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. And then he connected those three towns, those three cities, with a triangle. And he said, "You know, Herb, wouldn't it make sense to create an airline to just move business people within Texas from one of these major hubs to the other? Because there's so much business traffic going between them, but today," this being, of course, the late 1960s, "you couldn't fly direct between those three cities. You'd have to go through Cincinnati or through Denver, based on the way that the existing airlines and the hub and spoke system had been set up." And so Herb Kelleher said, "Yes, let's go ahead and do it." And that became the initial route map for Southwest Airlines, which obviously has gone on to become essentially the most profitable airline in the history of the airlines. And it literally did start on the back of a napkin.
Wow. What about the UPS whiteboard commercial? Can you tell us a little about that?
Sure. Now, this is pretty exciting for me. What's happened about a year and a half ago, UPS decided to take on a completely new approach to advertising because they recognized that as they offered more and more services in logistics and global transport and far more than just typical package delivery, that it was becoming really complicated to explain to customers what all they did. So they decided, why not make an ad campaign which is based on someone going to a whiteboard and with a pen, and of course it was a brown pen, this being UPS, mapping out with really simple pictures what it is that all the services are that UPS offers. And sure enough, that's what they did. And the ad campaign has become a spectacular success. What started out relatively small, one guy standing at a whiteboard drawing ideas out, has become a nationwide, if not global, advertising campaign that has now expanded to having two people standing at the whiteboard. And now beyond that, it's actually become the backbone for UPS' entire communication strategy for explaining all of the services that they offer and how business people can take advantage of them. You just can't come up with a better example than that of simple pictures in action.
Wow. I want to direct people to your website, thebackofthenapkin.com, and it's a very interactive page that you can learn a lot of stuff on. And one of the things on your website is the four steps to visual thinking. Can you share those four steps with us?
Sure, Annika. Just a little bit of background. The reason that I thought it was really important to come up with a process of visual thinking kind of goes back to one of the topics we've been talking about a lot. Many people are uncertain about this. They're worried about their ability to draw, so they say, "Oh, I can't do that." I thought if I could come up with a simple process that anyone could follow, it might help. And the process is very simple. It's four steps, and the four steps are we look, we see, we imagine, and then we show. And what's interesting about those four terms, looking, seeing, imagining, and showing, is they're all words that are derived from the process of vision. And yet we use those words all the time in regular conversation when we're not even talking about vision. You know, we say, look at the problem. Oh, I see the solution. I see what you mean. You know, imagine the possibilities. Think outside the box. You know, show me the money. We use these terms all the time. So I thought putting them together into this very simple process is powerful because we already know how to do every one of these steps. And again, in the book, The Back of the Napkin, I talk a little bit about how to improve our ability to do each one of these steps right from the beginning. How do we get better at simply looking at the world that is around us or looking at the components of a problem that's in front of us? Then how do we get better at seeing the patterns that are contained within that problem or within that universe of data we're looking at so we can really start to understand where the real issues are? And then how can we imagine, how can we literally use our mind's eye, kind of turn our imagination on with the flick of a switch to say, from a pictorial perspective, how can we really imaginatively and creatively think about the problem that we've seen and imagine different ways to solve it and imagine different ways to put the pieces together? And then once we've come up with some new solutions, then show those ideas to other people so that they really get what we've discovered ourselves. So that's and the best example I can think of is literally it's what happens when you play a game of cards. You know, you look at your cards, you see the patterns that are there, you imagine how to manipulate those patterns to get a winning hand, and then, of course, in order to win the game, you actually have to show your cards. And I like that same process. I think it describes it pretty well.
Wow. So how can someone get started drawing ideas?
Well, the best way to get started, as silly as it's going to sound, is just to start. So I would make the challenge out to your listeners as follows. Next time you have a challenge that you're facing at work or a particular problem that you need to resolve, go ahead and pull out a sheet of paper. And this is something you can do completely on your own. You don't even need to be with a team to do it. And on that piece of paper, just right in the middle, draw a little circle and give it a name. And, you know, you could call it me, or you could call it my business, or you could call it today. It really doesn't matter what you call it. The point is just to get that first circle and that first term down. And what's going to happen is pretty much whatever's top of mind when you think about that problem is going to be one of the first things that you draw and label. And then once you've got that first little circle there, you'll say, well, okay, I've got a picture, so what? Well, now draw another circle off to the side and label that circle something different. So if my first one was me, label the second circle you. Or if my first circle I'd called my company, call the second one my competitor or my client. Now what's going to happen? The moment that you have just those two simple circles on the piece of paper, each of them labeled, start to think about what's the relationship between those two circles. Are they close together? Are they far apart? Is there an arrow connecting them? Is one bigger than the other? And all of a sudden what's going to happen is ideas that are in your brain are literally going to start come tumbling out onto that piece of paper as you draw more circles and more connections between them. And once your brain gets started, it's very difficult to actually stop it, because what's happening is you're giving your brain kind of free rein to do what it wants to do, which is to make associations between lots of different pieces. You're just doing it visually, which is really powerful because it helps you remember what you're thinking about right there in front of you. So you don't have to remember anything. You actually see the picture evolve right in front of you. And guaranteed, if you try that, within a couple of minutes, you're going to start to see ways of looking at this problem or ways of resolving this problem that probably you would not have come up with if you hadn't even made the simple little picture. So that's how I advocate people getting started.
Wow. And to get even more in-depth, they can read your book and get more ideas. How do you think that visual thinking will transform business within the next decade?
Well, you know, I think that's such a fantastic question, Annika. I think we are right on the verge of seeing an enormous trend coming at us that's going to completely change the way we think about business communication and certainly the tools that we use when we think about communicating in business. And we're going to be moving much more towards a visual standard and a visual set of tools. And the reason I say that, there are basically three big, huge mega trends that I see in the world of business, all of whom are going to impact us directly sooner or later. The first one is globalization. And regardless of what you think about globalization, whether it's good or bad, in my opinion, it is an unstoppable trend that we're all going to have to get used to. And quite literally, from a business perspective, what it's going to mean is you may not know in a few years from now, if even today in some cases, the language, the spoken language of the person that you're going to be working with. You may have suppliers in China. You may have vendors in Europe. You may have suppliers or clients in Latin America. The fact is many, many people are going to be working with others in languages that are not their own. And pictures are a tremendous way to help bypass the challenges of not a shared spoken language. That's kind of item number one. Item number two is information overload is another trend that's simply happening, and it is unstoppable. And, you know, it's interesting because if you think, say, 50 years ago, the biggest problem that someone in business would typically have was not enough information about what they needed to do. Today, the problem is the opposite. Today, we all have too much information, and the issue becomes trying to decide what of all that information is really important. and how to make sense of it. And again, the use of simple pictures and the power of visual thinking to help us look over massive amounts of data and really see what matters and then come up with visual solutions that help us address it is a really powerful way to address information overload. And then the last one, the last big trend is frankly, everything is just becoming more complicated. Whether it's global supply chains, whether it's the tremendous number of media and information outlets we have through the web, what have you, one of the ways that we can help deal with this increasing rise of complexity around us in the world is get better at being able to visualize and draw pictures of the challenges around us, because that will help us really clarify and cut through a lot of the complexity to see what's really important.
How can people get a hold of your book, The Back of the Napkin?
It's available anywhere now. You can certainly order it on any online bookseller, whether that's Amazon or Barnes & Noble. The book is also available at all of the major chains, and it's available at all the independent bookshops as well. It's published by Penguin Portfolio, Penguin being the world's largest publishing company, and they certainly have a tremendous sales and distribution reach. So right now you can get the book, you know, literally anywhere books are sold, whether it's an airport bookstore or whether it's your local bookseller or whether it's Barnes & Noble down at the mall.
That's great. And your website again is?
TheBackOfTheNapkin.com.
It's a great site. I would like all of you guys to check it out. Is there anything else you'd like to add, Dan?
Well, Annika, just one last thought is if there are people out there who think that this notion of solving problems with pictures is great and really gravitate towards it, you know, more power to you, please do it. If there are people who are maybe a little bit skeptical, I would just simply ask people, give it a try. Again, as we said before, next time you've got a challenge, big or small, take out a piece of paper and a pen, start drawing out some circles and arrows and see what emerges. And I think that in most cases, many people will find that they've got a new tool that can really help them.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for being with us today, Dan.
Annika, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.